Yes. Okay. All right. Good evening, ladies. We are going to do a little bit of a recap on Song of Solomon 2:15, which is, just when I want to go there. Do you think I can? Okay. Oops. All right. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil and ruin the vineyards, while our vineyards are in blossom. Song of Solomon 2:15. All right. That verse is, we are referring to the fruit of the Spirit, the thing that we're supposed to be producing in our life. And we know what that is. That's the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. It is all of those things, and we are to be producing that. He is the vine, and we are the branches. And the recap that I want to do on that is, I want to just once again mention that in 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, let's purify ourselves from everything that contaminates our flesh, you know, like everything that can, our flesh can contaminate things. Okay. So, in that 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says that the sins of the flesh are the big sins, the big ones, the big foxes, if you will, are the sins of adultery and murder and blasphemy, drunkenness, all of those things, okay? So we got that, all right? But the little foxes, those little sins that creep in almost unnoticed, and they are the ones that spoil the vines. They're the ones that Solomon is speaking of in 2:15. They are the ones that spoil the vines. They are the ones that take away the fruit. And what are those little foxes? Well, we're going to hit them very quickly. There are three kinds of little foxes. The wrong things that we think, the wrong things that we say, and the wrong things that we do. These are actually described as heart sins, lip sins, and behavior sins. So your heart sins are jealousy and pride and impurity. These are things that we commit in our heart, okay? And they're not typically the obvious things. So many of those big foxes, those are obvious to people. Those are obvious even to ourselves. But so many of these other things we think we're keeping under wraps or hidden, and sometimes we are actually not conscious of them. They are literally a blind spot. In other words, we're not aware that that's what we're operating in. Interesting thing about that is, other people are more aware of of those little sins. Other people are more aware of your jealousy and your pride and your impurity than even you are. And certainly we spoke of last time, you're not keeping any of this a secret from God. So it really is prudent for us to pray the prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we need to be made aware. And if we will pray that prayer, we become aware. So those are the heart sins. Or the secret sins. Those are those little foxes. And then the second one are the lip sins. The second one are the lip sins. So what a lot of harm this little fox does, such a lot of harm. It is an unruly and an undisciplined tongue. That is what this is. It's a lying tongue. It is a critical tongue. It is a tail-bearing tongue. It does those things. Those slip in there and they do such powerful damage to the vines that are in blossom. Your fruit, the fruit is the blossom, okay? And then the third one are the behavior sins, those little foxes. Now, these sins are the ones that we commit when we act in such a way that an onlooker, okay, can tell that we have an unclean heart and a wrong spirit, okay? An onlooker can tell it, okay? It's when we are unkind, it's when we are thoughtless or even harsh in our treatment of others, or when we are wrong in our relationship with another person. It's when we, sometimes we justify the state, our unhealthy state, that little fox. And we, you know, and it affects our behavior. And more importantly, these are the things we spoke of last time. These are very dangerous because these generationally affect things. So it is so important, so very important to be paying mind to these things. Again, asking God to search your heart and see if there be any wicked and unhealthy way in us that He would bring it to light so that we could do something about it. So they are what will rob our lives of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we do not want happening. We want those things happening in our life. So if any or all of those fruits are waning a bit, or you're finding yourself on the wrong end of some things, it is seriously time to do a little searching of the heart. Definitely time to do a little searching of the heart and see if you cannot get rid of the little foxes. I find it interesting that Solomon says it like this: catch for us the little foxes, almost as though it's a prayer to God. Catch for us, God, the little foxes. And it should be our prayer as well. It's we want to be mindful. God, please catch for us these little foxes before they do damage to the vine, before they not only take out the fruit that is in blossom. I think you well know that they, in the end, can start to sever the relationship between the vine and the branches. And this is certainly not what it's not only our fruit that is robbed, you know, we then run the risk of, we really run the risk of heading down a path we do not want to, you know, one little thing turns into the next little thing, and it's not a good thing. So we want to do what it says in Romans 13, 14. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and the passions of their sinful nature to His cross. They have nailed them to the cross and they have crucified them there. So in other words, these little foxes have to be taken care of. They have to be done away with. They have to be done away with. They do. So that is what we want to do. And then we want rather to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus and not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. It's another really good way for us to deal with these little foxes, because everything, we talked about this the last time, everything starts up here in the thought process. And if you entertain it too long, if you entertain it too long, pretty quick, you're thinking of a way to gratify the sin, gratify the sins of the flesh, those little foxes. So rather clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your flesh. All right. That is definitely what we want to be doing. Okay. We're going to be off and running now, and we are headed into our, we're headed into our new verse. And that is Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Again, Isaiah 40, 31. And I'm going to read that in a couple of other versions. I'm going to read it in the, that was the NIV. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for and hope in him, they will gain new strength and they will renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles. They will rise toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. And then in the NLT, it reads like this: but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And then the CEV, Contemporary English Version, says it like this: the Lord gives strength to those who are weary. Even young people get tired and stumble and fall. But those who trust the Lord will find new strength. They will be strong like eagles, soaring upward on wings. They will walk and run without getting tired. Isaiah 40, 31. So you're getting the picture of where we're going with that. Weariness is a part of the human condition. We wish it wasn't so, but it is. It just is. Even youths grow tired and weary, and even young men will stumble and fall. God knows us well. Emotionally, physically, and spiritually, we all get tired and we all fall down. We all do it. Okay. Sometimes we put on a good, we can put on a good exterior. Okay. The exterior that says, hey, it's all good with me. And we can try really hard to look put together, but inside it's where we're falling. We're falling apart on the inside. So that is why we must run to this verse. This verse will turn it around, whether you're tired and you're weary and you're all of those things on the exterior, or whether you're just simply those things on the interior. This verse speaks to it all. This verse will speak to it all. Sometimes we put our hope in the wrong places. We just put our hope in the wrong places. People, position, possessions, none of them can save our soul. None of them, okay? The Lord alone offers salvation, and none of them can be the source of our hope. None of them can be the source of our hope. But that's easy because people, positions, possessions, those things are in the here and the now. Those are the things that it's real easy to put your hope in. And then all of a sudden, we're like, wow, what happened? And how did I get here? Well, you got here because your hope was in the wrong thing, and now you're devastated because your hope wasn't in Jesus. Your hope was in that circumstance bearing out in a particular way. So many become disillusioned in prayer when the thing that they prayed and prayed and prayed for didn't happen, and or it didn't happen the way that they thought that it should happen, and they become disillusioned and their hope is waning. But their hope was in an outcome. Their hope was in a circumstance ending in a certain way. Their hope was not in Jesus. We have to have our hope in the right place. So that is what this verse is all about this evening. We need emotional strength. We need emotional strength to weather whatever life throws at us, whether it's toddlers, whether it's teenagers, whether it's tough employers. We need physical strength. We need it to tackle our long to-do lists and our endless errands. And above all, we need spiritual strength to stand firm in our faith when others try to tear down what we know to be true. We can find that a difficult thing to do with other people, but it's an even particularly difficult thing to do when it's people in our space, that are just picking away at, tearing down our, you know, the very thing, our faith, the very thing that we stand for. Well, what we need to do is wait for the Lord's help. And he assures us that when we do that, when we wait for the Lord's help, we will find new strength. That is the promise in that verse. When we will wait upon him, we will find new strength to stand firm. We can literally change strength from ours to his. An incredible exchange, okay? We can, if we wait for the Lord's help, we will find this new strength, and we will find him as the source of real power, not from ourselves, but in him. And it is, again, literally where we change strength from ours to his. And I don't know about you, but I come to the end of mine. I come to the end of my strength. I just do. We all do come to the end of our strength. So I am all about the great exchange. I am all about that. I will rather lay what feeble strength I have in my flesh. I will most graciously and happily exchange that for his strength, his power, his strength, his power. Another really important thing that I'm going to go ahead and mention here, you would have noticed in the verses when I was reading them at the beginning. Some of them are saying, wait, those that wait upon the Lord, and others of them are saying, trust. Others of them are saying, trust. Okay, those two words are being used a bit interchangeably, because when you go to the Hebrew and the Greek of what that verse is actually saying, you will find those two things lined up. So what is this waiting? This is where you trust that God has his best interests at heart for you and those that you love. So it's where you trust that in the face of when you cannot see it, when you cannot see it, you still wait and you still trust in that waiting. Okay, both of those are not state of being verbs. Both of those are actually active, they are action. They are action. They are not, we are not to wait passively. There is plenty to do in this waiting and this trusting. These are both things that we can do, should be doing. How we wait is so, so very, very, very important. So with God's love and grace fueling our steps, He promises that we won't get tired or become weak. When we feel weary, it is time to take our eyes off of our problem, off of our problems, usually plural, and put them on God. Put them on His word. Listen to something uplifting. Tell the enemy of your soul to take a hike. Tell him to do that. And you march on and do not weaken in your marching. Do not weaken in your marching. You keep marching. You keep hearing that. You keep hearing that drummer. You keep hearing that. Oh, okay, just a minute. I gotta do that. And I gotta do that. Okay. All right. Hey, hey. Hi, Joya, and hello, Leah. Hello, hello. Hello. Sorry, I did not see that sooner. Okay. All right. Okay.
Jason, today.
Yeah, exactly, right? Okay. So, so when you choose to wait on the Lord, He will renew your strength. Waiting requires patience. Waiting has purpose. Waiting produces maturity. When you choose to intentionally wait on the Lord and willingly surrender your will over to Him, then God will renew your strength. It's you placing your hope in Christ. You placing your hope in Christ, choosing to wait on Him, choosing to wait on Him. And the verse again is, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40, 31. Now, the Hebrew word for wait is guava, and it means to look for, to hope, and to expect. In other words, they that choose to place their hope and their expectation in the Lord will renew their strength. When you choose to wait on God, you are in expectation that He will bring the promises to pass. When you choose to wait on God and you choose to place your hope in God's way of doing things, you're choosing to rely upon Him completely. Wait upon God. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. His timing is perfect. It doesn't look like ours, but His is perfect. His will is perfect. So choosing to place your hope in Him will result in His renewing your strength, renewing your strength. He sometimes gives us a waiting period, and the things that it does is frustrate us. Sometimes we find ourselves getting sick. Sometimes we find ourselves doing any number of things, but for whatever reason, It is a place in which you learn to wait on God in a different way. So the thing itself, not so fun. The outcome of it, if we will press in, the outcome of it, you will find that your strength is renewed. You will find that that much needed time in that place, your strength was renewed. Now the Hebrew word for strength is called koch, which means power. It means might. It means ability. So again, as you're waiting on God, he's going to increase your ability. He is going to increase your stamina. He is going to increase your capacity, your capability, your character. Wow. All of this as you wait on him and let him strengthen every area of your life. You see, waiting actually produces patience, actually produces patience. There is strength in submission. Waiting on God is not a form of laziness. It is a sign of a surrendered heart. It is a sign of a surrendered heart. So there is, again, there is much strength in submission. There is healing in surrendering because so much comes off of your shoulders and on to God's. Surrender your heart over to him. Let God strengthen the character of your heart in the right way. His way, his way. Let God strengthen your talents, your skills, your gifts, your abilities. Surrender them to him, and he will strengthen all of those things in you. We want to let God sharpen us in this season. In this season, we want to let him lead us in our businesses, in our homes, in our finances, in our careers, in our ministries. We need to let God lead us in our ability to guide our homes. Guide our homes. So important. Generations depend on that. Generations literally depend upon your ability to surrender to God at this moment in your life. Not waiting, but doing it now. And the next generation depends very much on that. And when we choose to wait on God, he is going to renew our strength. And as we wait on God, he will refresh us in every area of our life. Every area of our life. So choose to trust him and choose to wait on him. He gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 29. So the Hebrew word again for power is kolch, which means strength and power and might. So let him give it to you. Let him give it to you. Let him pour it into every part of your life. Let God lead and order your steps. Really, let him lead and order your steps. Let him set and establish your course. Let him do that. And he'll give power to the faint. He'll give strength to the weary. He'll fill you up with his strength. And it's so much better. Like I said, it's where you exchange what? Your feeble strength, you doing it in your own strength, he'll exchange that for his. I'm all over that exchange. I don't know about you. I need that exchange. So let him do it. Let him do it. Weary and fatigued. My goodness, as moms and wives, and can we ever find that weary and fatigued place? God restores to those who are weary and fatigued. God refreshes to those. God will recharge. He will recharge. So don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Let God breathe some new life into you. Let him breathe his life into you. Let him give you a second wind. Let him give you a second wind and let him lead. Let him lead. God created you for his purpose. For his purpose, he created you for his pleasure and for his delight. let's not forget that, I think. Let God strengthen you. Let him build you up. Let him restore you. Let him carry you through the valley. Let him carry you through the valley. Let him lift you out of the pit. Let him lift you out of the pit. Let God set you free from every emotional bondage, everyone. Let God break every yoke of bondage from your life and choose to cast your cares, every care, on him, like it tells us in 1 Peter. Let God destroy every generational barrier, every generational barrier. Let God set you free from every generational habit, yoke, bondage. Let him crush every weight. Don't let the weight and the worries of the world, don't let them derail your focus. Do not let them derail your focus. Choose to focus on God. Focus on him. Surrender to him. Let him lead and direct your footsteps. Let him strengthen your feet. Let him strengthen your feet to soar. Let him strengthen your legs to run. He does give strength to the weary and power to the faint. Let him increase you. Let him increase you. When you do that surrendering, when you surrender your will over to God, he will give you new vision and fresh hope. New vision and fresh hope. Choose to elevate your way of thinking by mounting up on the word, seeking him daily in the word, seeking him frequently. For God has you in his hands, you in his hands. Choose to mount up on every promise of God. Every promise of God, okay? Remember, mounting up is drawing up close to the Father. When you choose to mount up on his word, then you are choosing to place your trust in his ability to carry you. His ability to carry you, not your own ability to carry you, his ability to carry you and to undergird you, support you, lift you up in no matter what season you find yourself, in no matter what season you find yourself, in every season for that matter. When you choose to rise above life's problems and you choose to trust his word, God will give you the capacity to soar above life's problems and spread your wings beyond your circumstances. Don't magnify the problem, choose to exalt God. Don't magnify the problem, choose to exalt God. A little bit about the eagle. Think about it. The eagle has the ability to fly higher than most birds. Its wingspan is wider than most of its counterparts. The eagle has the ability to fly long distances. The eagle has the ability to see further than most of its peers because of its elevation. You were equipped to fly higher. You were built to fly longer distances. You are gifted by God to mount up above life's problems and soar above the turbulence of life. Don't let the circumstances of life rock you off course. God has given you abilities and gifts that need to be cultivated and need to be sharpened and need to be developed and they need to be matured by him, trusting him at every level, trust him in every season. The more you exalt him in your life, the more your perspective will change. It's the view from up here, okay? The more you trust him, the more you exalt him, the more your perspective will change. And that is what God is about. He is about shifting your perspective, shifting your perspective. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But you shall remember with profound respect the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to make wealth, that He may solemnly establish His covenant that He swore to the fathers, to your fathers, as it is this day." So as you're rising, choose to remember God and place Him at the forefront. Don't place Him as the afterthought. Don't place Him as you chase your tail around the room all day long and then go, "Oh my goodness, I need to stop a moment. I'm exhausted. I am wore out." And then you remember what you're supposed to be doing, which is seeking God. Okay? Don't do that. Put Him uppermost. Put Him uppermost at the forefront of your mind and your thoughts and your actions. And remember, it is God who is going to give you the power and the access and the authority and the ability and the strength and the stamina to walk this out and do it successfully. Do it successfully. Your success is in Him. And it is Him who gives you the power and the strength to do that. It's Him that does that. So we want to choose to wait on Him. Choose to wait on Him. And He is preparing the promise. Have patience. Trust God. The promises, they're coming. Don't faint. Don't faint. You were built for this. You were built for this. Okay? I love that about the eagle. And you were made for this. Interesting sidebar note. The female eagle is larger than the male. And you know, I had a thought on that. I meditated on that for a little bit. It's larger wingspan, larger, more feathers, more, you know, more of all of those things because it's a larger bird. She's a larger bird. Okay. I believe that is because so much actually really and truly in our homes, in our, so much is on a woman, really on a woman. And so he is saying, I've made you for this. I have made you for this. You can bear the weight of this, but it's Me. You have to let bear it. You have to quit trying. You're keeping it all on your shoulders, and it was never meant to be. So let him cover you. Let Him cover you with those wings. Find yourself in that amazing protection, seated in a high place. Last week, I was up in Billings, and we went to the zoo, and I saw and it was a beautiful eagle. It was a very beautiful eagle, but it looked at its enclosure, and I was saddened for that eagle. And from outward appearances, the eagle was fine and it looked healthy and it was all of those, it was, you know, I mean, it looked like it, you know. But I sat there, and this was really actually before I started working on this verse, and I went, And when I did start working on it, I went, we were made for so much more. And so how many times are we that eagle? And are we stuck in an enclosure? And we are living well beneath what God ever intended. How many times is that actually true? I just kept seeing that eagle and I thought, wow, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's just not how it's supposed to be. And it's really hard to say. I don't know if it grew up in captivity, if it had to be rescued, you have no idea how things ever end up there. But I just know they're made for more. I know they're made for more, and so are you. So are you made for more. God has designed it. He has designed it. But it is really time to wait upon Him, and renew trust in Him and find that new strength so that we can soar high on those wings like eagles, and run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint, Let's pray. Father, as we meditate on that verse this evening, you did indeed design us to wait upon you. And that in that waiting, in that trusting, in that place, that you, God, would renew us, refresh us, give us your strength to meet any challenge. None of it is too difficult for you. None of it is beyond you. It's beyond us, but it is not beyond you. So, Father, I pray that these precious ones hearing this prayer right now will surrender and find that place with you where their strength will be renewed, where they are not simply the victim of trying to do it in their own strength. God, may we never be that, but as your women called to your purposes, may we indeed soar high, draw close to you. In your precious and holy name, we pray. Amen.